We continue our learning Le'ilu Neshmas David ben Menachem Munish and Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Elio. We are in Trumos, Perek Aleph Mishnah. You're the last Mishnah of this Perek. And this Mishnah is really a summary of the principle that's been outlined several times already with several examples in the previous Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Ein tor min midavar shenigmara malachto, al davar shelo nigmara malachto. We're not permitted to separate truma from something, from an item that has already been processed, finished its processing, on something, on behalf of something that has not finished its processing. So, you're not permitted to take, if I have I've harvested grain and it's already been put into a pile, which was reached that that stage of what we call meruach hakri, where it's now considered processed. So that's the stage where the chiyuv of truma sets in. I can't take truma from that pile on other grain that has not yet reached that process, reached that stage, which is lo nigmara malachto. And the Mishnah says the reverse as well. V'lo midavar shelo nigmara malachto al davar shenigmara malachto. Nor are we permitted to separate truma from unprocessed grain, unprocessed produce, on behalf of that which has been processed. That's the reverse. If I can't designate grain which hasn't yet been smoothed out as truma for grain that has already been smoothed out and placed in a pile. That is a number two. And then the Mishnah says the following. Velo midavar shelo nigmara malachto al davar shelo nigmara malachto. And personally, certainly can't designate truma from unprocessed produce on behalf of other unprocessed produce. Here, none of them have a chiyuv of truma. And this seems to be completely redundant or unnecessary, rather. The fact that you can't separate truma from if both of them haven't reached any stage of chiyuv of truma. And the chiddush of the Mishnah on this line is what for the line that comes later, which is the following. Tarmu truma san truma b'di'evad, after the fact, if you did separate truma in any of these scenarios from something that was unprocessed on processed, on separating truma from processed on something that's unprocessed, or separating truma from something that's unprocessed on unprocessed, all of those cases, even in the third case, b'di'evad the truma is good. So the chiddush of the last halacha is that when it's unprocessed on unprocessed, you would have thought that b'di'evad maybe it would not be effective. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that this nonetheless is going to be effective. We have seen in several Mishnahs in certain cases where b'di'evad it's not going to be good. And we've mentioned those in those cases. Let's say, for example, we spoke about separating from the olives on the olive oil, which was not going to be good, even b'di'evad. And we have examples of that in the previous Mishnahs. Now, the Mefarshim wonder why truma, if I'm designating unprocessed, so why should it be that b'di'evad it's going to be good? When it comes to challah, for example, so challah, we'll learn in Maseches Challah in the second perek, if a person separates challah, dough, right, from flour, now flour is earlier in the process, not chayv and challah until you make it into dough. But here I'm going to separate my challah while it's still flour. So that's not valid, even b'di'evad. So why wouldn't we say the same thing? Truma and chachala is just another type of truma. We've mentioned in the past, there are five types of truma. Bikurim is truma, trumas maser is truma, truma is truma, chala is truma. So why can't it be? So why is it when it comes to chala, separating it when it's unprocessed, at too earlier of a stage, when it's flour, it's invalid, even b'di'evad. And yet here, when it comes to truma, separating when it's unprocessed is going to be good b'di'evad. So some of the poskim write that the idea that I could only separate produce when it's become processed is actually only din derabbanan. Midoraisa, you really can separate truma at an earlier stage. But even though I'm planning to make it into oil, olive oil, the midoraisa really can separate olives when it's in the olive stage. And the same with grapes on wine. Midoraisa, it should be okay. It's an asmachta. We've mentioned psukim before that seemed to point in the direction that that this should be a din d'oraisa. But nonetheless, we assume that it's only a din d'rabbanan. If that's the case, then we have the chachamim have every right to tell you when this would apply and when it would not apply. And that, therefore, b'dieved, we understand why, after the fact, it would be effective. We are now beginning the second parak, parak beis, Mishnah Aleph of Trumos. Ein tarmin mitahor al hatame. V'im tarmu truma san truma. Here a person has tevel, or he hasn't separated truma just yet, but one pile that he has is tahor, and the other is tame. One is ritually impure. So the Mishnah here says you're not permitted to designate truma, to take truma from the pile that's tahor on behalf of the pile that is tame. Now what's the problem with that? So this is a din derabbanan. Midoraisa, there's nothing wrong with doing so. Let's assume they're both processed. Let's say oil on oil. So which is the problem? Olive oil on olive oil. Well, just because one the olive oil that I'm separating out is tahor, and I'm separating out on behalf of a barrel of olive oil that's tameh. So what should be the problem with that? I'm separating out kosher truma, pure truma. So the answer is the Rabbanim were nervous that if a person does so, he's going to violate the din, which is what we call min hamukaf. The halacha is that when you separate truma, normally people are separating out the truma from the barrel itself. But we don't have to do that, as we've said. I can take truma from one barrel, as long as it's the same item, on another barrel. But it has to be what we call min hamukaf. They have to be in proximity to one another, right next to the other. This is true when it comes to separating challah as well. We have a din min hamukaf. You're separating challah on behalf, you know, for all the everything that I made. We're supposed to put all of the dough all together on the counter next to each other and separate it out. They shouldn't be far away from each other. That's a din derabbanan min hamukaf. So in general, we'll assume it's a din derabbanan. So the Mishnah here is nervous. If I have two barrels, one is tahor, one is tameh, I'm afraid I don't want to make the one that's tahor tameh. I'm going to keep them far away from one another. So the chachamim were afraid because of that I would be torim shalom and amukaf. So that's why they said, don't take truma from tahor on tameh, because I'm afraid, because one is tahor, one is tameh. You're not going to want to bring them one into proximity to the other, because you're afraid one will become, the tahor will become tameh. So therefore they said, better not to separate truma at all from tahor on tameh. You should separate from tahor on tameh, and therefore I don't have this problem of nervous violating the lo min hamukaf. This, by the way, does not apply to trumas maiser, but it does apply, in order to Bikurim, which is another type of truma, but it does apply to truma and to challah, and that's because both of them have this halacha of min hamukaf. If there's halacha min hamukaf, then I shouldn't separate truma from tahor on tameh. If there's no din min hamukaf, so then there's no concern at all. Yushamli actually quotes a pasuk which we're going to assume is an asmachta, is not a din d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabban with the support from the Torah, based on the explanations we've given. But nonetheless, what does the pasuk say? It says, v'nechshav lachem, we quoted this pasuk many times, v'nechshav lachem trumaschem kadagon min hagorin. So what do we see from that pasuk? So the Torah there compares truma to grain. And we know it's self-evident, if I have a kernel of grain, you can't have a kernel of grain that's partially tahor, partially tameh. A kernel is one unit. So either it's tameh or it's tahor. If it comes in contact with tumah, so the whole thing is tameh. And if it's not, so then it's going to be tahor. So if we're comparing truma to grain, so that if the same way a kernel of grain is either tahor or tameh completely, not partially, so the same thing is true when it comes to my truma itself. When I'm separating truma, the produce, the truma itself, and the produce on behalf that I'm designating it for, they either have to be both tahor or tameh. So to separate from something that's tahor on tameh would be a violation of this comparison between truma and grain. Obviously, that's not doesn't sound like a din d'oraisa. It's a hint, maybe in the Torah and asmachta, but certainly not a din d'oraisa. Now, the reason why we have to assume One of the questions, rather, that we have to raise is that if it's true that this halacha of ein tor, you're not supposed to separate from truma from tahor on tame, is a gezera de rabbanon because shalom and amukaf, I'm afraid you're going to separate truma where the two items are not in proximity to one another. That assumes that the din min hamukov should be a din d'oraisa. Why? Because we generally don't make gzeros d'rabbanon on another gzera d'rabbanon. We call that ein gozerin gzera l'gzera. So to assume that the din min hamukov may be only din d'rabbanon. And some Rishonim do claim that. The din min hamukov is a din d'rabbanon. And nonetheless, this is an exception to the rule. The Chachamim war goes there. A gzer l'gzer. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Chulon Daf Kuf Daled that actually makes that point. There are times where the Chachamim war goes there. A gzera on another gzera. But others claim that the din min hamukov would have to be a din d'oraisa because otherwise they would not be able to make a gzeira. Don't separate truma tahor on truma tamei, because that would be a gzeira on the original gzeira of the din min hamukov. And Mishnah, as we said though vim tarmu, if you did this b'dieved truma san truma, and that seems to assume that the din min hamukov is a din d'rabbana. Because if it were din d'oraisa, maybe we should be strict even b'dieved. When you separate from tahor on tameh, we see that b'dieved, it's acceptable. Then the Mishnah says, be'emes amru, they've truly said, when we say this, we assume that this is the halacha. Some claim that this would, when we say be'emes amru, in truth we say it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. The difficulty with saying that is that the halacha we're discussing here can't be halacha moshe m'Sinai. It's all a din d'rabbanan. So halacha moshe m'Sinai has the status of a din d'oraisa. So what did the chachamim say based on this halacha? They said the following: Ha'igul shel devela. If you have a cake of figs, you have a fig cake. We know the pressed figs. You can buy them in the store, and they're in a cake together. Shenitba miktsaso. Part of it has become tummy. Now, how is that possible for part of it to become tummy? If it's a whole cake, isn't that one unit? So the Mefarshim say not necessarily. If I have a cake, even though they may be stuck together, nonetheless, each, even in the cake, it's not a single entity, and each fig in that cake is actually going to be considered a separate unit. There's a further discussion, actually, that it may depend on what it is that is causing the figs to stick together. If they're stuck together with fruit juice, and that's the case of the Mishnah, so then each one is a single entity. Because fruit juice does not connect the two with respect to what we call Hechsher Lekabel Tuma. We've mentioned this in the past, there are seven special liquids that cause something to be susceptible to become tameh. If the food has that liquid upon it, then the food can become tameh. So if it's regular fruit juice, which is not susceptible to tumah, so that will separate each and every fig into its own entity, and you could have a fig cake where part is tameh and part is tahor. But if that which causes them to stick together are one of the seven liquids, the wine, blood, honey, water, olive oil, milk, or tal, or dew, so then because of that susceptibility to tuma would cause them to be connected, so to speak, and the whole cake would be one unit. So we're talking about a case where each fig in the cake is considered a separate unit, and that's why you could have a case of a cake where part of it is tamei and part of it is tahor. So what's the halacha here? So the Mishnah says, guess what? Tore min ha-tahor sheyeshbo ala tamei sheyeshbo. In this case, you would be able to separate truma from the tahor figs on the tamei figs. Now, why is that allowed? We just said you can't separate from tahor on tamei. So the answer is because here there's no problem, shalom and amukaf. You can't get more mukaf than this, can't get more proximity than this, where you have them stuck together. So since I don't have a concern that a person may separate shalom and amukaf, we allow it here. V'chein aguda shel yarek, and this is true with a bundle of vegetables. Now, why do I need the Mishnah to tell me it applies to a bundle of vegetables? Because a person would have thought, oh, pressed figs that are like they're glued together in one cake. That I understand. That's I don't have to worry about Shalom and Amukov. But maybe a bundle of vegetables would not have the same status? The answer is yes. If you have a bundle of vegetables in part of his tahor, part of his tameh, you can separate truma from the tahor on behalf of the tameh. V'chein arema. And the same is true even of a pile of produce, a pile of grain, even though the items may be loose, nonetheless, and maybe they would be considered, we consider them the piles like a single entity, and that when it comes to truma, designating truma, so that's what was aligning this as well. That it's very much min hamukaf, and we don't have to have that concern at all. Hayu shnei gulim, shtei agudos, shtei aremos, achas tmeh v'achas tahora, so lo yitro mizalze. But if you have two cakes of figs, or two bundles of vegetables, or two piles of grain or produce, one tameh, one tahor, then you cannot separate from the tameh or from the tahor on the tameh, which seems to be somewhat redundant. And there's one of the answers the Yerushalmi offers is to tell us the following. The chiddush here is that the Mishnah doesn't have an exhaustive list. The Mishnah implies that even if I have a pile that consists of a produce that we don't normally gather together into a single pile, you have melons, let's say, and so we consider those a single entity. If you put them together, and if one's tameh and one's tahor, you could separate them from one on the other. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that if you put them together, even though you don't normally have them together, that would be okay. That's min hamukaf, and we rely to separate even though one's tahor and one's tummy from tahor on tummy. Well, it's only when they're separate that it's no good. And the Mishnah then concludes with the dissenting opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who argues on this whole halacha. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Torah min ha tahor ala tamer. Rabbi Eliezer is not worried about taking truma, that if I take truma from tahor produce on tamer produce, oh, I'm going to violate the halach of shalom and amukaf, not separating from keeping things in close proximity. He's not worried about that. And therefore, he argues on this halacha. Nonetheless, we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which is a minority opinion.